It is a state capitol report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, you have aligned to Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger of Green Bay as we break down his ballot measure that would ban private election grants. And later, we discuss a bill to eliminate race-based consideration in college scholarships, grants, and loans. Call in with a question or comments along the way. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Eric Wimberger represents the 30th District in Green Bay. State Senator Wimberger, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
You have co-authored a constitutional amendment which would bar local communities from using private grant funds to administer elections. How do you want this legislation to change how Wisconsin conducts elections?
Well, I don't necessarily think there should be a change in the way anything is conducted. I guess just the method of payment. For all of our history, we've been doing it without private funds primarily, but in the last election cycle, there was some questions, and I think there's a bit of a slippery slope that is going to happen as a result.
Can you be more specific there? Because private grants, they've been credited with helping facilitate the 2020 election, that the most difficult and darkest days of the COVID pandemic. Does that mean Wisconsin wouldn't ever encounter this or need this form of disaster aid, if you want to call it that, again?
I would challenge you on the fact that places needed it. In my area here in the Green Bay area, the state help was actually refused, and in lieu of the state help, the private money was taken. And that was pretty much across the state. I don't think there was going to be any sort of problem, especially with the National Guard and their trained election advisors there, that they could have caused a serious problem if taken and organized. What's going to end up happening is you will have cities that take private money. And then depending on who controls the city, are going to decide where things happen. And it could be anything from where you do a route for the shuttle to the polls, or where there's going to be advertising. All these things might not be a direct sort of influence on a ballot, but certainly would put a thumb on the scale. And when we're talking about, statewide ballots nowadays being decided by 20 or 30,000 votes, those things could make a difference.
Democratic State Senator Mark Spreitzer says the private grants, they're needed because local clerks and municipalities often don't have enough money to do their jobs and carry out elections. If private grants were banned in Wisconsin, would you support increased funding to fill that funding gap?
Oh, sure. Whatever is needed to actually affect the implement the election, of course, that's important. I don't agree with Senator Spreitzer and his analysis, because if that were the fact that these localities needed the money, there would have been a challenge on the Voting Rights Act or any sort of other disenfranchisement. And those things, of course, never come, and they won't come, because the state actually does, and the localities do figure out how to implement the election.
Would you support federal funding for election administration, like ongoing funding from the federal government?
Sure, that's all fine. The issue is just simply that when you have, there's a distinction to be made between when you get a donation from a private entity to do advertising, say, hey, vote for so-and-so, versus the private money being commingled with the police powers of the government to implement something or another. And when it's that way, there's a double dark money type of a situation where you are actually using police powers. And that's not good. You do have to have that sort of nonpartisan or uniform arm's length distance from that private money. Otherwise, you will go back to the olden days where it was kind of like that, and you had ballot box stuffing and not much confidence in the vote.
We're talking about recent efforts to change Wisconsin election laws with State Senator Eric Wimberger, represents the 30th District in Green Bay. You can join the conversation, call in with the question or comments at 800-642-1234. I wonder if you could look to the future. Could constitutional amendments like this one, barring private grant funds to administer elections, is this a way for Republicans to get other types of legislation passed in the future?
I don't think that's necessarily true. And a constitutional amendment has to go through two sessions. So two different election cycles for the assembly, at least. And then it has to pass on a referendum statewide. So if the sentiment or the mood of the state is not there, it's not like it could turn the entire Constitution into a code. But there are some things that are very important and that need to be actually enshrined in the Constitution, and to keep this sort of influence out of something that's supposed to be non-political, so to speak, is very important.
On the theme of elections and voting related, State Assembly approved, about 20 of these bills Thursday. Around half of the bills received bipartisan co-sponsorship or Democratic committee votes. Which bills are the most important for the Senate to take up, in your opinion?
Regarding
these latest election and voting related bills that have passed through the assembly and they're on their way to the Senate.
I can tell you, there's a lot of stuff that happens in the assembly that never makes it to the Senate. I don't even keep track of it anymore. There's some 1,000 or 1,200 bills that happen every session, and a lot of them never actually cycle through the Senate. There's only a couple that actually get through.
Are there any in particular that relate to changes in how elections are administered that you really want to see become before your upper chamber?
Well, I think last week there was a vote for making ID, a photo ID required for all types of elections, and also that only citizens can vote in all elections. Right now, the citizenship test is only for federal elections or statewide elections, but there could be some local elections where non-citizens could still vote. And so that does need to be shored up a bit.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss referred articles of impeachment against Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf to a committee. Should Wolf be impeached?
I don't agree with the tactic being used, but I think Megan Wolf should not be in her job. The articles of impeachment, however, fall short largely in accusations. They're overly broad. And I was a criminal defense attorney prior to being in the Senate here. And the way they're written is unclear, and I'm not happy about the construction of the document. I would, whether she should be impeached, I guess that maybe there's a case to be made on some of this stuff, on one or two of these things. However, much of the document is about how she did things that the Elections Commission told her to do. And it's kind of like, darned if you do, darned if you don't at that point, because if she had not done what she was told to do by the Elections Commission, well, then she'd be subject to impeachment for failure to execute her job duties. So some of these things I don't think are very well thought through, but perhaps there's one or two. We'll see how that shakes out.
You have a line to Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger of Green Bay on proposals he backs. Call in with a question or comments about legislation, 800-642-1234. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a state capitol report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger of Green Bay sits on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. We explore the proposals he's backing this floor session and what he seeks to get to Governor Tony Evers' desk in coming weeks. Call in at any point to ask a question. Share thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. You've written a bill that would eliminate race-based criteria for college scholarships, grants, and loans. The bill passed along party lines last week in the Assembly, now is with the Senate. Why should this be signed into law?
Well, I think society ought to shift its paradigm a bit, and I think this is more of a response to that paradigm shift than actually, trying to induce something. People simply don't believe anymore that a particular person, based on their immutable characteristics, has a particular background or personality type. So to say that somebody needs something based on their skin color, for instance, or gender, just is an antiquated way to think about it. Now, you may say, well, there's all these disparate impacts or disproportionality. If you take away the concept of the immutable characteristic and then just simply talk about whether they're disadvantaged in one way or another, then what you're talking about is whether someone has a disadvantage. If there's a disparate impact in society, then the disadvantage status will also be applied disparately, and then it'll kind of even out, and there'll be a disproportionate benefit to those based on whatever category. But the focus would be on the actual disadvantaged status rather than saying automatically that because you're X, you have a disadvantage.
How do you define disadvantaged status or disadvantaged students in your legislation?
Well, there's an amendment on the Assembly floor I have to take a look at yet, but originally, it would be left largely up to the institutions as long as the concept of race were left out of it. But the general idea, it would be largely economic.
Largely economic.
Or social.
Okay. Yeah. Are you concerned with how this legislation could affect students of color in Wisconsin?
Concerned about it? No, I think it will. It will separate concepts of a presumption someone is disadvantaged based on skin color, and someone will be able to walk into a room and say, I'm your peer.
Why do you think it's important for lawmakers to involve themselves in higher education matters like this that are usually left up to faculty, left up to administrators to manage?
In this day and age, I guess there's concepts of critical race theories and critical gender theories going on. In generations past, you would have institutions discriminating, for instance, against women, presuming that they couldn't do math or engineering. And the government does have to step in from time to time in order to stop institutions from discriminating in that way. Now, there's really no question that it's discrimination. It's just a question of whether it's appropriate under the rubric that the U.S. Supreme Court permitted under the case of Bakke and its progeny. But I think the time has come where most people nowadays really don't consider race in their calculus, and this concept of implicit bias needs to kind of go the way that other paradigms have gone in the past.
We're looking at legislative priorities with State Senator Eric Wimberger of Green Bay, represents the 30th District. You can join in with your questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Pete in Eau Claire. Pete, hi. What would you like to ask?
Hi, good morning. I'm curious about what the state senator thinks that this private funding money is being spent on. I mean, the way he's trying to spin it is that that these groups are buying votes when they're really just helping to facilitate the ability for people to access voting easier, especially during 2020 and COVID, when they helped to finance money for drop boxes and different kinds of education. These are things that help people vote, and that's what they're afraid of, is that they don't want people to vote. So does he think that it's that they're buying votes?
State Senator Eric Wimberger, go ahead.
Well, thanks for the question. I think it would be best asked rhetorically like this. Would you be okay if there was just this assistance to vote in places that had a statistical voting trend of 60% Republican or higher? And if that was just helping people to vote, well, why would you oppose that? Because it's just helping people to vote. It wouldn't have any effect on the election at all. And when you ask that question that way of let's just help people vote only in places where there's a particular voting trend, then you start to realize, well, wait a minute, this might actually tip the scales a little bit. So helping people to vote is not the point. It's just that state money ought to be used to help people to vote and not supplemented by a private organization that might boost a particular vote percentage out in particular areas. In Green Bay, the money was spent on a voting team, what they called advisory team, or they had people there from New York primarily to administer the election. And it got to the point where the clerk actually resigned, and the person who ran the election that year in the city of Green Bay proper was actually a voting team from New York. And those sorts of things aren't exactly a direct buy of the election of voters. And there's no accusation that there are any votes changed at this point in time. However, when you pile in a bunch of money for advertising, you can actually target, and when it's disproportionately, done, you can actually increase the voter turnout. And if you give it directly to a particular city with a particular trend, it would bolster that sort of turnout in comparison to other areas.
I want to jump in here so we have time to discuss toxic PFAS chemicals.
Oh, great.
Yeah, the Senate Natural Resources and Energy Committee passed a bill you authored to address PFAS pollution. But the legislation would create several limitations for the State Department of Natural Resources. Why limit the actions of the DNR in remediating PFAS contamination?
This is a really great thing for everybody, and I hope that the governor comes around from what his comments were previously. It's a great opportunity for him to really help out. There's only one type of limitation on the DNR in the legislation, and that's to limit the DNR's ability to order innocent landowners into remediation. So if you're next to an airport or a farm that took biosolids with PFAS in it, or next to an industry that has PFAS in the ground, and here's a pollution plume migrating through the ground from your property into your property, through your property, into somebody else's property, that makes you an emitter by definition. And if you're an emitter, you'll be subject to DNR remediation orders. Now, you might not actually be ordered into remediation because there's such a massive amount of property, but you're probably, and when you disclose it on your property disclosure, if you try to sell your house, you'll be have to put at the bottom there, yeah, my property, it emits a hazardous substance, and the DNR pinky swears that they probably won't order you to remediation, but it still reserves that authority. Your property value is going to be zero. So the important thing here is just that if you're an innocent landowner and you have a pollution plume running through your property, that you won't be subject to remediation orders and test wells and all these kinds of things at your expense, as long as you let the DNR go onto the property at state expense. So it's not a total denial of DNR authority. It's just that as long as you let the DNR come and poke around on your land and figure out where things are, feel free to test, feel free to examine your property and figure out what's going on for the best of your health. And you don't have to make that that very difficult dilemma of if I test, now all of a sudden I find out my property's emitting and I'm going to be subject to remediation orders. This makes it so there's everybody can be safe and their property value is restored.
State Senator Wimberger, thank you for joining us.
You bet.
State Senator Eric Wimberger represents the 30th District in Green Bay. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.